Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service. As Mark has just said, we are streaming live on Facebook to the Benefice Facebook group, so you do need to be on your best behaviour, please. We start our series today on Philippians. Last week, Mark gave us the background and an introduction, and Sally will be speaking on the first part of the chapter one today. Today is Father's Day. So welcome particularly to those of you who are dads, including my dad. Now, Father's Day can be a day of mixed emotions for lots of people. Some of us have had or still have good dads, but some of us have not had good dads or struggled to be good dads ourselves. However, all of us here have a Father in heaven who is the best father a person could ever imagine. He has given us life itself, things in this life, and the promise of being with him forever. So let's bear that in mind today. I've got four notices. Again, we are taking food to the food bank on Monday morning, so if you can contribute to that, that would be lovely. We're reminded umpteen times in Scripture that it's no good having faith if you don't actually act out on your faith. And there's that challenging part in James chapter 2, which speaks about if someone comes in who hasn't got food and shelter, and we say something nice like, oh, be warm and well fed, and don't actually help them, James says, well, what good is that? So it's a challenge and a privilege for us to help people. So if you want to contribute some food to the food bank, you can drop it off to us at 4 Mill Road or take it yourself. This week, I think we've only got two home groups meeting, the Greg's Close one on Tuesday afternoon and the Thursday one in the evening, which we host. I don't know of any PCC meetings or standing committees. Nearly there. The Bible course, which we have been running, finished last week. If anyone is interested in taking part in another one, please do let me know, either give me a ring or email me. Details are on the Benefice website. If we have enough people, we'll start another one. And then lastly, today, again, we'll have breakout groups at the end of the service. So if you want to stay on and have a bit of a chat, do take 2 or 3 minutes to go off, go to the loo, get a coffee, and when you come back, say after 5 minutes after the end of the service, we'll put people in breakout groups to have a chat for a quarter of an hour or so. So as we start our service, let's pray first. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our Father, for wanting us to be your children, for Jesus dying and being raised to life to make that possible for us, and for you adopting us into our into your family and making us here brothers and sisters. We ask you to guide us this morning. Please speak to us through our worship of you, through our praying, through hearing your word and Sally's talk. May we worship you with the worship that you deserve. Amen. So as usual, everyone will be muted for the biggest part of the service. And when we have our liturgy like this, I'll be saying the parts in ordinary type and my Sue will be responding. We should hear her. But if everyone else would join in, that would be great. So grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let's sing together All I Once Held Dear.
My life upon all this world.
as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Christians, we know that when we sin, we should confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. But we don't always, do we? And so it's good that when we meet together on a Sunday or any other time, that we spend time thinking through what we've done, realizing the things that we've done wrong, being thankful for the way God has changed us, but being aware that there are things that still need changing. So let's spend a moment of quiet as we gather our thoughts and think through the last week, and then we'll say sorry to God. God, our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For behaving just as we wish, without thinking of you. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us.
Save us and help us.
May the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's worship the Lord again by singing together, Be Thou My Vision.
Thou with me, Lord.
As you know, we are starting our first look at Paul's letter to the Philippians. Last week, Mark took us on a tour of the Eastern Mediterranean and gave us the background to the letter itself. But Sally will be speaking on this in a few moments. But first, Jenny Marie will read our reading from Philippians chapter 1 to us.
So yes, the reading is Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jenny Marie. It's good to be with you this morning as we begin to look at what for most of us will be a very familiar and favourite book of the Bible. As Alan has already told us, last week Mark introduced us to Philippians, which we're studying together over the next few weeks. So I'm not going to do any introduction on that, but invite you, if you wish to remind yourselves of Mark's words, to visit the website where you will find a recording of that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that through your word we may hear you speaking to us today. Amen. In preparing for my talk for today, I was reminded of an action that I started in my childhood, which I still carry out today, much to the amusement of my grown-up children, who tell me that people don't do this anymore. I am referring to the handwritten thank you note, which I think is an important thing to do. And I must say, I personally like to send a handwritten personal note rather than a text or an email. Today, we share in the privilege of starting to read Paul's letter to the Philippians. And I do not use the word privilege lightly, because it's a very personal letter to a church for which he felt a deep affection. And by the content of the letter, we soon begin to understand a bit about this two-way relationship. So I have picked out three words that I should like us to reflect upon this morning and think about what they mean to us and how they shape our relationship with God and each other. My first word is joy. Paul has great joy in his heart as he writes to thank the Christians at Philippi for their generosity to him and the relationship that they share, which he in turn gives thanks to God for. In verse 4, he says, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray for joy." We will pick up on the second half of this verse in a moment. I'm not somebody who believes in coincidences, but I do believe in God incidences. And it strikes me how relevant Mark's choice for us to read this book together is in our current pandemic climate. Paul was living under house arrest, and many of us relate to his situation, being governed by the boundaries of self-isolation, shielding, and social distancing. The reality of the invisible 2 metre boundary that keeps us apart physically should not bind us emotionally. In God, we can find the freedom to have that joy in our hearts that Paul speaks about. I should like to invite you to pause for a moment and consider what brings joy and happiness into your life. And also to think about what brings you joy in your faith. It strikes me that the joy that Paul found was that he realised the deepness of that relationship which goes beyond fellowship that he received from people who were far away but still wanted to bless him and acknowledge how he had helped and changed them. What does that say to you and me today? I chose our first song this morning for these words: to possess by faith what I could not earn. Because for me, they give me the confidence to know that I am loved beyond measure, and the joy to know that this will not be taken away. When I think of a biblical story of joy, I'm drawn to the birth of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah. Isaac's name means laughter. In faith and trust, Abraham and Sarah were blessed with a son as God fulfilled his promise to them. And in Luke 15, we are reminded of the parable of the lost sheep and the joy of the lost finding their way back to the Lord. I know that I have shared with some of you before that I used to meet weekly with a prayer partner, and we would often start our prayers feeling quite despondent and down because the things we felt we needed to pray for, we didn't know how God was going to answer them. But many times he would always lift us up and our prayers would finish in praise to him. Romans 15 verse 13 tells us, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." I know that we won't always be able to follow Paul and pray with joy in our hearts, because we may be hurting, or we may be grieving, or we may be feeling overwhelmed by a personal situation that we find ourselves in. I have found comfort in my times of struggling in the words of a book entitled The Prophet by Cahil Gibran. It's my go-to reading before any funeral, particularly this passage that speaks to us of joy and sorrow. He tells us our joy is our sorrow unmasked, and the self-same well from which our laughter rises will often be filled with our tears. And how else can it be? The deeper that sorrow carves into our being, the more joy we can contain. For me, it's those heavy-footed, sorrowful steps we make as Christians from the pain of Good Friday to the joyous skip on Easter Sunday. We need to fully experience both, to possess by faith what we cannot earn. Like Paul, I feel very blessed to be a part of a church family, our church family in this benefice, and the worldwide church. And I thank God for each of you in my prayers, because I know that we have our part to play in building and growing the kingdom of God. My second word is partnership. What does our partnership in the gospel look like? A work colleague at an office my sister used to work at always signed birthday cards with two words, every blessing. He became known as Every Blessing Malcolm. This was his witness to the God he knew and loved. I would like you to think about the ways that we bless one another in our partnership in sharing the gospel. I especially thank God for the IT whiz that is Alan, and Mark too, of course. This is something I am not. If you had told me back in February that I would be talking to you via Zoom this morning, I would have replied in the words of a Sunday school chorus, which I have reinvented. No, 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 not me. I am dismayed. I am afraid. And yet I've had to learn to be bold and be strong to help in the partnership that we share. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the second half of verse 5 tells us, there is a time to embrace and a time to refrain. At morning prayer yesterday, Alan informed me that he has a new phrase in relation to Zoom. If Sally Fergal can do it, then anyone can do it. Thank you, Alan. Now you may think that this might have upset me, but actually, I was rather chuffed. And I'm going to tell you why. He is a man of God and a fellow partner in the work of spreading the gospel. And when we know that our words are going to encourage and bless, and our actions do the same thing, then I think we have a really good partnership in working together. So what does that say to you and me? Is there something you have been refraining from that you need to embrace? Think about what partnership means. In the church and in the world, we find ourselves living differently. So what are we learning about ourselves, and where is God in all of this? Did you notice the significance of the second half of verse 5 where Paul says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. I think we sometimes try and put a beginning, a middle, and an ending on our actions, on what we believe God is wanting us to do, not trusting him to believe that we may be the beginning, we may be the middle, or we may be the ending of something. If I'm honest, this verse reminds me of a fairground carousel ride. The one with the horses bobbing up and down, which I confess I always found a bit scary as a child, because you had to dismount and get off while the ride was still moving. It may have been slowing down, but it was still moving. And sometimes in our faith, it can seem a bit like that. Sometimes we can feel the ride is not for me, and we resist the partnering bit. By that I mean we choose not to get involved with some church stuff, and that's fine. But I want to encourage you to think about this and what we can do here together with the gifts that God has given us. So together we can be a true sign to others that show how we care and share our faith in love. That we really are partners together in sharing the gospel. What good work has God placed in your heart that he wants you to do? You see, I believe that Paul is saying to us that the work that God has begun, he will finish. Paul loved the Philippians, and that love was reciprocated. In a practical way, they showed this by their monetary gift to him. But the relationship goes much, much deeper than that. He is talking about really sharing in everything. Partnership can mean different things. As a priest, I have the privilege of conducting marriage ceremonies. And in the marriage service, when the couple come to give and exchange rings, they say these words: "All that I am, I give to you, and all that I have, I share with you, within the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." All that we do is within the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Preceding this exchange of rings, the minister says a prayer. Some of the words go like this: "Let these rings be, too, a symbol of unending love and faithfulness, to remind them of the vow and covenant they have made this day." What does that say to us about having a true partnership with one another? Do we give all that we have? Do we share all that we have to build and grow God's kingdom? There is one of Paul's letters that you will find on a single page towards the back of the Bible. It comes after Titus and before Hebrews. It's Paul's letter to Philemon. Paul writes to ask Philemon to forgive his runaway servant, Onesimus. Whilst he was away, Onesimus becomes a Christian, and Paul wants him to be welcomed and received back by Philemon as a Christian brother. In verse 7, Paul says this to Philemon: "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of saints." What actions do we need to take to refresh the hearts of the saints in the church that we belong to? How can we do this? What actions do we need to consider and defend? My third word is love. Paul says this, and I think it's worth repeating: "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more, and in knowledge and depth of insight." If you're like me, then over the last few weeks, you may have had days when you've had a bit of a wobble, feeling overwhelmed by events, the inability to get together with family and friends, the no-go barriers, a visible reminder of disconnect, which equates to a sense of constriction. In Paul's opening words in this letter, "I have found freedom, and I hope that you can too." He may be in prison, but his heart is free, full of joy and love. And his security comes from knowing Jesus and the assurance of eternal life. Did you notice at the start of this letter, Paul describes all the Christians at Philippi as saints, people who are set apart to lead holy lives for God? They do this by living in Christ. How can we encourage those around us to come and meet with the living Jesus? What actions do we need to take? How do we partner in the gospel? I would conclude by suggesting two simple things. By taking time to deepen our knowledge and understanding of love as God intends it to be. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow to each other and to everyone else, just as ours does for you." Love as God intends it to be. And then once we know what that love truly is, sharing it with others. My prayer is that the love for God that we hold in our hearts is seen mirrored in our daily actions and relationships, and our desire will give that desire to others, that they may see the joy that we have in our hearts and want to come and find that for themselves too. May you have a blessed week. Amen.
Thank you very much, Sally. Thank you for sharing that with us. I think we need the slide before, Mark. Whichever slide we're on, let's join together in singing together now. How great is our God. Age to age.
How great is our God.
We are in Philippians for the next few weeks. So let's now affirm our faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, using words from Philippians chapter 2. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing.
Taking the form of a servant, he was born in human likeness.
He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross.
Therefore, God has raised him on high and given him the name above every name.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow.
And every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen. Because we are struggling with Zoom and being able to unmute people quickly, we will share the peace by just waving at everyone again today. Remember, we have some coffee groups, breakout groups at the end. So here we'll just give everyone a frantic wave to share the peace. So, blessed be Christ, the Prince of Peace.
He breaks down the walls that divide us. Praise Christ, who is our peace.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
So if you'd like to set yourself to gallery view to see as many people as possible. If you're on an iPad, you can probably see 4 people. If you're on a PC, you can see 47 people. Right, everyone's had a good wave. So we're now coming to a time of prayer together. Stephen, would you kindly lead us in prayer?
Yeah. Let's pray to the Father on this second Sunday of the Trinity, for his church in the world, and thank him for his goodness. Almighty God, on this Farmer's Day, as a Heavenly Farmer, we thank thee you're always there to guide, support, and comfort us through the bad and good times. Also, thank you, Lord, for our earthly fathers, for what they have done for us. Be with those, Lord, who are remembering our fathers today, who are no longer with us. Life-giving Lord.
Hear us, we pray.
We continue to pray, Lord, all the nursing doctors in the hospitals and care homes who are working long hours, caring for others during the COVID-19, that they will have the strength to carry on. Also, thank you, Lord, all those in our villages who have helped others during this time. Life-giving Lord.
Hear us, we pray.
Heavenly Father, raise up to you people in this other countries, now out the media spotlight, who are still suffering due to natural disasters. We thank you for the aid charities who have to support these people in their time of need. We thank you, Lord, all those who work in emergency services. Keep them safe, Lord, as they work often in daily conditions to rescue others. Life-giving Lord.
Hear us, we pray.
We raise up you, the family of Dan Verlin, who died on Thursday. Comfort them, Lord, as they mourn. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful lady, all the work she did to entertain the troops during the Second World War. Life-giving Lord.
Hear us, pray.
Heavenly Father, we pray for Her Majesty's Armed Forces, who are still serving in Gaza, Iraq, Israel, Syria, Turkey, and other war-torn areas. Strengthen and keep them safe, Lord, as they do their duties. We pray that agreement can be reached in these places. The aid of fighting, so further loss of lives is avoided, and the troops can return home. We thank you, Lord, for the nurses and doctors in the field hospitals who work to care for those who have been badly injured. Give them the strength, Lord, to carry on. Also pray that you bless and support the families, Lord, while their loved ones are away, serving their country. We thank you, Lord, for the service charities who work to support those who are currently serving or ex-servicemen and women who are still suffering due to their war injuries and need some help. Blessing God is our Queen, who is to her and all authority, and direct this every nation in the way of justice and peace, that men will honour one another and seek the common good. Life-giving Lord.
Hear us.
We thank you, Lord, we are still able to meet for worship each week during lockdown through Zoom. Also, thank you for the skill of Mark and Anne to enable us to do this. Life-giving Lord.
Hear us. Pray.
We thank you, Lord, for shopkeepers in our village who are always there to provide what we need. We with them, Lord, especially at this time. Life-giving Lord.
Hear us.
Pray. We pray for those who are less fortunate than ourselves, do not know where their next meal is coming from and where they're going to lay their head in the warm tonight. We thank for those who work in the food bank to sort and distribute the food to those in need. Life-giving Lord.
Hear us, we pray.
We pray for all those who are waiting for hospital appointments, x-rays, scans, operations, that they will soon be started again soon, so that problems can be sorted out. We now pause the rays of the Lord any on our hearts who need our prayers this morning. Be with them, Lord, at this time. We thank you for all those who work caring for us at home. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all your saints, we commend ourselves, all Christian people, to your unfailing love. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
In a moment, we'll be praying the Lord's Prayer together, to pray to our Heavenly Father. As ever, please will you use the version that you find most helpful to pray. I'll be saying it in the more recent version from Common Worship, but please do use whatever version you want. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We're drawing towards the end of our service today. At the end of the service, would you please join us if you'd like to in coffee groups, breakout groups. And if you would like to join us next week again, that would be great. I'll be speaking on a bit more from Philippians chapter 1. And there's a verse in there which I find the most challenging yet most encouraging verse in the Bible. I'll tell you more next week. We also have our prayer times during the week. A day where for each of the parishes. More details on the website. The Lord Almighty is our Father.
He loves us and tenderly cares for us.
The Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour.
He has redeemed us and will defend us to the end.
The Lord, the Holy Spirit, is among us.
He will lead us in God's holy way. To God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be praise and glory, today and forever.
Amen. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us now and evermore. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing our final song together, 10,000 Reasons. So thank you for being with us. Hope you're able to worship the Lord something like how he's meant to be. We'll be meeting again next week, and we'll be meeting again in 5 minutes. If you'd like to hang around with us, see you in 5 minutes.